Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
All right, to the 5 at 5 is brought to you by Duplicating Systems, more than a system, a solution. Jeff, the Falcons have signed Todd Gurley. Now, here's the thing about the Falcons. We haven't been too high on them. Everyone's been down on the Falcons because, well, they've stunk the last 2 years, and then at the end of this last season, in fact, the team was 1-7 going into a bye. Like,
we assumed they were going to be two sackings.
Right, there were none.
None. We wanted blood.
So Mr. Blank comes back. There will be no changes. He wants different results, but he's got the same two in charge to try and deliver them. So with all of the feelings about the Falcons, you know, the draft from last year and the free agency from last year, none of it's been great. But now today, Atlanta signed Todd Gurley.
Mm-hmm.
So, Jeff, the question is, does Todd Gurley do enough and deliver enough to really just send us on a 180 about the prospects of the Atlanta Falcons?
You know what this is? This reminds you of the many times Linda has told me you've just angered her so much and she's about fed up with you. But you know what? You came with flowers.
In fact,
today.
I did something today. She said she was going to punch me.
There you go.
Yeah.
So, you know, they were, I think, Falcons fans and the team, they were like nearing divorce status. But the signing of Todd Gurley, that was, they brought the fans some very pretty flowers today. That was a dozen roses, and it's like, okay, especially, and there's a high percentage of Falcons fans who are also big college football fans. That Georgia's their team, obviously.
Yeah, for sure.
So
yeah.
That's like, I've noticed at Falcons games, like Georgia, there'll be more Georgia hats there than all the other schools combined. But like, you know, if you go to a Braves game in July, you'll see Tennessee hats, Alabama hats, Auburn hats, South Carolina, Clemson. Because the Braves, and again, a lot of this goes back to Skip and Pete and Ernie and that radio network when Atlanta was the only team in the South. The Braves are a regional team.
I even saw a Tex football coach at a Braves game last year.
Wearing a sweatshirt when it was 108 degrees. And the Falcons are pretty much a City of Atlanta team.
Yeah.
I don't even know if they're the state. It would be like Georgia's the team in the state.
Well, because like when you get up into, say, the Carolinas.
Oh, the Panthers and Redskins.
Yes.
Yeah.
So, and then you get to Mississippi and Louisiana, and you're the Saints.
The Saints, and then, you know, there. I mean, at one point you had, I can remember my friend John Adams, who writes for the Knoxville paper, when he was working in New Orleans, he said, like, oh, yeah, it was. And he talked about the Shreveport paper did the same thing. They covered, in kind of the golden era of newspapers, they covered the Saints, the Cowboys, and the Oilers. Like, they had a reporter at all three. And then, yeah, you're right. You get – and then for baseball, you start getting Mississippi. Well, you got a lot of Astros fans.
Yeah. But Saint, like, you figure Saints fans, Panthers fans, Skins fans
– right.
Are all Braves fans.
Exactly.
Skins fans now, so at least the ones in the Carolinas, and well, outside of the Carolinas, maybe now they're like, we like the Nationals. Suddenly they turn into Nationals fans. But
there's
the ones in the Carolinas, where Washington is popular there, they're Braves fans.
They are. I mean, really, if you're talking about, obviously, Georgia, South Carolina, Alabama, and Tennessee, hands down, the Braves are far and away the most popular baseball team.
Yeah. But, at least for Georgia fans now, the Falcons with an uptick. So is this enough to take us from the Falcons are just, they're dreadful. They've kept Quinn. They've kept Dimitroff. They've gone 7-9 and 7-9 to have us maybe later on when we reveal a preliminary 7-5 out to actually consider the Falcons making the playoffs.
You brought the flowers, but you're going to leave that toilet seat up again soon. Now, if they were to grab Kinlaw in the first round, and then I guess at this point, you would think Edwards-Helaire, although, gosh, if they got him and Gurley.
No, I would think that they would, because the idea of load management, I mean, they can't run Gurley into the ground. He can't be their, like, lead back. No. I mean, he'll be their lead back, but not their just, like, you're out there every down back.
Well, and like we said, if Atlanta is going good, they do need to be at a point where he's ready to roll second half of the year. So if they still pulled, like, Kinlaw, Edwards-Helaire, which is kind of your dream scenario for them, that'd be tremendous. But I just have no confidence in Atlanta making a good pick.
Well, no, and I mean, they really haven't given you any reason to do that. But 0. I still think Edwards-Helaire in the second round would be a good pick, even with Gurley. Look, they've only given him a one-year deal here, so it's, you know, they've got him. They'll see what he has left to offer. He did have 12 touchdowns last year on the ground. But here's the thing. The Rams' offensive line last year, from the one in 2018 to 2019, the Rams' O-line last year was bad. And so a combination of a bad O-line and a player whose knee has been breaking down on him didn't go well for him. But so now he's in Atlanta. But guess what? Atlanta's offensive line is not very good. So.
No, it's not. And, you know, when you think about it, how quickly, and I guess this is just kind of the changing pace of the NFL, how good Atlanta's line was in 2016, it got bad within 2 years, and how good the Rams line was in 2018. This was just 1 year.
Yeah, and they just fell off a cliff.
Yeah, they're like Whitworth got old, they lost a player to free agency, somebody gets hurt. And that's the thing, too, in the NFL – the roster sizes, most of these teams for a game, they'll only dress 7 or 8 offensive linemen. So that's just not a position where anybody's got depth. So again, if you have, you know, one guy leaves for free agency and then another guy gets hurt, and then, you know, again, something crazy happens, you know, somebody's got to miss a couple of games with another injury, or, you know, somebody retires, you can go from being in really good shape to being in dire shape really quick. And the O-line, that's the position where you got to have the talent and the cohesion.
Yeah, the cohesion is the big one. I mean, because guys not get hurt and basically start every game.
Now, Don Shula always said, you know, that they had the Dolphins of, you know, 71, 72, 73 that were the first team to ever go to 3 straight Super Bowls. It was a quote-unquote no-name defense, and you know, you didn't even have the huge superstars on the O-line. Well, all those guys were great players. They wouldn't have done what they did without those guys being great. But I think kind of the misconception there was just because they were all – you might not have had that mega superstar like you had at running back with Larry Zonka or at quarterback with Bob Greasy. But all those guys were of – high-end talent. There might not have been that superstar. And on defense, that's why they went by the no-names. Of course, had 2 great Georgia Bulldogs there. And that offensive line, I think it kind of got misrepresented too, that was a great unit. They might not have had, again, like, say, an Anthony Munoz or a Mike Webster, but they had as good a cohesion. And
they had Larry Little.
They had Larry Little and Bob Kuchenberg. But that cohesion they had, I never will forget this watching NFL films. Shula always said those 5 guys, they work together like the 5 fingers on your hands. So it's one of those, you could have gone out and whatever the all-pro offensive line was that year, you know, say 1973, and you could have taken the best offensive lineman from the Dallas Cowboys and then say Gene Upshaw from the Oakland Raiders, best lineman from the Green Bay Packers, Pittsburgh Steelers, you name it, and put them out there, they would not have performed as well as that Dolphins offensive line did. And kind of a modern example of that, we talked about it last hour, Bramer, was the 2016 Atlanta Falcons. They played 19 games. They went 95 for 95 in starts.
Yeah, and ended up in the Super Bowl.
And really, outside of Alex, they obviously, it was a tremendous line. Alex Mack was the only one of those guys who was a first or second team all-pro type guy.
Yeah, well, and you look, that good injury luck ended up, it's been biting in the last couple of years. I mean, even with the 2 guys they drafted last year as rookies. I mean, McGarry had the health issue in training camp, and then Lindstrom ended up getting hurt last season too.
God, it's that whole thing. I've not done a good job of committing their names to memory. I just say the guard from BC and the tackle from Washington.
Yeah.
I just have this fear that in like 2 years, those guys aren't going to be on the team anymore.
Yeah.
Like when they
just
took,
as soon as you learn their names, they won't be there.
That DB they took in the second round from Wisconsin, who
it was
a lot
Desmond
of,
Southward, I believe, is his name.
A lot of people had as like a sixth round pick, and he was gone within a year. And remember, they took, was it Peter Kahns, who they drafted about four rounds too high?
He was a second rounder, but their first pick of that draft, because after the Julio trade, they didn't have a first rounder right. that next year. And yeah, he was, I believe, a center from Wisconsin.
And he was out of the league within 2 years.
Yeah, and that's the thing with some of those guys. It's like they didn't just end up on another team. They ended up on no team. Well, like they weren't playing anywhere.
And that's what happens when you take sixth rounders in the second round, which again goes back to the point. I get it that you like a guy. And, hey, that's an eye for talent. But when it is widely, you know, all right, this guy's got a sixth-round grade, at least you can grab him in the fifth.
So you're
that's
saying,
your reach.
So what are you saying? Is Gurley enough to overcome all that?
I still think in this draft they need help on the O-line. Maybe if Edwards-Helaire isn't there in the second round, they go there again.
With another O-lineman? Well, they need really – because with McGarry and Matthews, they're not taking a tackle. It's like McGarry's going to be the tackle, Matthews is the tackle. So they need interior line help, which is better because if you need a tackle, you know the odds are you need to get one in the first round. But you could find a guard or a center in the middle rounds that could end up being really good.
I wonder for Atlanta, let's say in the fifth round, like, would Solomon Kinley be a guy they would look
at? Yeah, like he could be. I've seen some mock drafts that actually have that, where they get Kinley. Hey, so it's just a bulldog bonanza for the Falcons this year. Start with Gurley. All right, over under 999.5 yards rushing for Todd next season.
Over, baby.
All right, so he gets back over the 1,000-yard mark. All right, moving on now in the 5-5, a stunning announcement today by Anthony Edwards, who says he's entering the NBA draft. He's leaving for the NBA. I do like that as he during the season, like he's not ready. Like I don't know, maybe he's not ready. He is young. He's 18. Only 18 years old. But here's the thing: he's going to be one of the top like one, two, or three picks in the draft.
He's gonna get paid anyway.
Yeah, it doesn't matter if he's ready or not, but like he needs to turn pro because he's got a multi-million dollar job out there waiting for him. The question with the Ant-Man though is this: what is his, like, how should he be remembered for this one season in Athens?
I think that he brought a lot of excitement to the team and the program, and hopefully we'll see kind of the rising tide brings up all ships, and I think just the fact that he didn't go the Duke, Carolina, Kansas, Kentucky route and came to Georgia, I think certainly brought us some recruiting credibility. Did I just say that right? Recruiting credibility. That's hard to say CRs back-to-back, by the way. I just noticed that.
Recruiting credibility.
Yeah. That's not easy there. It's like shoulder surgery is a tough one. Recruiting credibility, he brought us some of that. And you know, hopefully, minus the FBI wiretaps, it can be the same effect that Ben Simmons had for LSU. And then all of a sudden, it's like, okay, Georgia's a cool place to go for basketball. We know it for football and for baseball and for tennis and all the other sports, golf, swimming. But now, man, hoops too. Okay.
Well, and he obviously created a good buzz for the program.
He did.
This winter that, you know, had record crowds at Stegman Coliseum. That's the question for next year is how many fans are willing to, like, hang on and give it a shot, and how many are just like, oh, my gosh, just Georgia basketball. It's just, it's, you know,
I think
it is what it is.
I think next year we're going to have to win.
I kind of feel that way, too.
And when I say that, I mean to keep the – because what was, you know, so impressive, too, we got off to that great non-conference start, you know, beat Tech, gave Michigan State a great game. We beat SMU. We beat Memphis, which was, what, 2 days after the Sugar Bowl? I mean, it was an awesome run there. And then, you know, we don't have to review the whole season, but we know how tough those first five games were. You know, we're leading Kentucky at the half. Even after that 1-4 start, there was still, you know, some optimism. Hey, this could be a tournament team. Then after the Ole Miss game and then back-to-back weeks, we blow those 20-point leads. And it's just like, oh, my gosh. So I think next year our fans will be there. We got the greatest fans in the world. But if we're something like 1-6 in the league, to think that we're going to be selling out again next year, that might be a reach. Now, I think if we're 4-3, 5-2 in the league, absolutely. But, yeah, if the record's not as good next season, I think it's going to be more difficult to keep the sizzle.
Yeah, I mean,
and I'm sure Coach Crean understands that.
Yeah. Well, yeah, I mean, now it's just you got to prove it to us now. The Ant-Man was good enough to definitely build some hype and get people excited just to see this, you know, phenom coming here that Georgia hadn't seen really the likes of, you know, to have signed since Neek.
Right.
And, you know, in the end, it's like he's going to be one of the top picks of the draft. He had a good year. He averaged 19 points a game. Tremendous. It's not like he was a flop or anything like that, but it's also like I feel like a couple years from now, you're like, you'll watch him in the NBA. Kind of like I'm the same way now with Kentavious Caldwell-Pope. And like he played here, and like I really have no vivid memories of like any of his time here. And I kind of feel like maybe other than the Michigan State game in Maui when he went berserk in the second half,
33. I think that's going to be his most memorable performance. Plus, that was during Thanksgiving break. The time of the day that game was played, a lot of people saw that. And I'm just going by my small sample size because the Lady Dogs had a game that night. And when I got to the Coliseum, I mean, my phone had blown up. You seen the Ant-Man? What's going on here? I mean, he had a tremendous audience. And the fact that it was against Michigan State in the Maui Invitational.
Yeah. And Georgia was down 28, cut it all the way to 1.
Yeah.
And, you know, I think the expectation was like, yes, this is what we're going to see all year. But then we didn't. That was really the only time we saw it.
And that's also what, even as talented as he is, the SEC is so good and so tough and physical for a freshman, especially for a freshman guard to come in and, you know, to try and get up there. And, you know, he had a couple of games where he went over 30. But it's to try and do that night in and night out. The league is too tough.
All right, finally, Jeff, we'll wrap up the 5-5. We've discussed this quite a bit, no spring football practice, and Georgia's got new offensive coordinator and Jamie Newman, the new quarterback. So excluding him, because we've touched on the, you know, the potential, you know, ramifications for him and trying to get acclimated to a new team with new teammates and plus learning a new offense and a system. But who are some other players that could be most impacted by not having these 15 spring practices?
If you'll allow me to repeat three names that I said from the previous hour, I would say Owen Condon, Xavier Truss, Warren McClendon, who you
the
would
potential
think,
left tackles.
Yeah, would have been the leading contenders there. Walk-on kickers, there are a couple of good ones. Walk-on punters, you know, Jake Camarda. This is going to shorten the time of, all right, well, are we going to try and make Jake the place kicker and have one of these walk-ons be the punter? So when it gets back to, I mean, this is another reason. I think Georgia's going to have a really good team. Don't get me wrong. But, and listen, all three of these positions might wind up being okay. But in general, if you've got newcomers at quarterback, left tackle, and kicker,
what about some
of
these?
You can fill in the blanks with that. I mean, that's where, you know, in our little bubble here, this was the timing of this damn thing. You know, we really needed this spring practice this year.
I know we did. And, I mean, it's easy to shrug it off. And I mean, Georgia is still crazy talented. Sure, you look at how the Dogs have been recruiting the last, you know, 4 or 5 years. And, you know, the expectation for the defense is sky high. But I was thinking about even some of those guys today. That, like, Trayvon Walker, Nolan Smith, they had good freshman years.
Correct.
We know, I mean, Walker made, you know,
defensive play of the year.
Yeah. In the game against Auburn. But now, for them taking that next step, moving from freshmen to sophomores, I mean, does this maybe slow it a little bit because they're not having,
I'll tell you,
this spring? Or
it might a little. Like, I think even more so, maybe, Chris, for a guy like Tyreek Stevenson in the secondary, who, you know, he's played that star position. He's played nickel. He's played corner. I mean, and, you know, Kirby doesn't officially, at least publicly, say, a strong safety or free safety. He kind of just gears it more towards a side, the boundary,
right,
or the wide side. But you could still, you know, basically J.R. Reed was a strong safety and Richard LeCount was a free safety if you just want to use the old school terminology there. So, yeah, I think for a guy like Stevenson, a young player in the secondary, because a lot of times you do see those freshmen, and when it starts to pop for them in the second half of the year, you know, then you can really see them emerge in the spring and go out and grab a job. And the secondary, I mean, let's face, I think the two, most coaches would tell you, the two hardest positions to coach, and a lot of it has to do with a number of guys, and you're talking about complicated with schemes, it's the secondary and the offensive line. I mean, that's pretty obvious, right?
Yeah. Yeah, it's a no-brainer.
Yeah.
To make that jump from high school to, you know, the type of athlete you're going to face, especially if you're in the SEC and you're an offensive lineman.
But it's like the two positions where you can just tell on guys, like tailback and linebacker. I'm not saying it's not complicated, but, you know, you get a guy like N'Kobe Dean out there, it's like, you're going to have to cover and do some of this, but it's, yeah, go get the guy with the ball. Now he's a great student, too. That might not be, guy's a 4.0 GPA valedictorian of his high school class. But, again, for the positions where, like, if you're talking about a pass rushing specialist, defensive end, a middle linebacker, you know, a guy like Monty Rice, like, the guy's got the instincts. A great tailback, duh.
Right.
You know, those are ones where you can, yeah, there's still stuff to learn. But 85 to 90% of your production's off of your instinct and natural talent. Whereas, like, the secondary and the O-line.
Yeah, the left tackle spot is probably that, and yes, obviously kicker, too, would be another one. Because, you know, early on in the year, you know, given some of those thoughts, you know, with Sam Pittman talking about, yeah, I mean, you're just not going to be able to install what you want to install with a new offense and a new roster in basically a month's time, that could be a lot of unders early on in college football next season.
You know what will be a nice day? Because when the games do start back, we're just going to feel so blessed and relieved that the first time that this that we're going through right now isn't on the front of our mind, like hopefully in a win, but when we start cutting, and the first thing on our mind is like, golly, boy, our offense struggled today, or golly, you know, we missed that kick, or, oh, did you see how lucky Florida got? It's like when Rudy Giuliani said, just the job he did as mayor, you know, post 9/11 in New York City was just incredible. And he said, and that Yankees Diamondbacks World Series, it was incredible that after the Jeter, the Brocious home run, he said, you know, for the first time since September 11th, I picked up the sports section first today, which is what all guys do.
Yeah.
So that's always the good sign that you're getting back to normal. So if instead of, you know, on our everyday cover, it's like, when do you think this thing's going to end? You know, what do you think's going to happen here? If it's like, oh God, could you believe that Braves third baseman made two errors yesterday?
I'm looking forward to booing Todd Monken the first three and out of the year.
What is going on?
Yeah.
This guy, I'll tell you.
What a terrible hire.
The OC is, I guess, most for visible people, most politicians would tell you, especially the president, the press secretary, you have to go out there for the daily briefings. And I'm not talking about an extraordinary circumstance like this. Like, that's the pinata. They're just getting beat up. Like, that's the toughest job, okay?
Yeah.
But for college football, it's the OC.
Yeah, because they, you know, they're calling plays. The defense is calling plays, too, but you really don't know what the...
No, defense is reacting.
They're reacting, right. And there's, you know, there's some defense they'll be put into based on what you think the offense is going to do. But, no, the offense is calling a play, and if the play doesn't work, it was a terrible play.
I mean, I'm telling you, we could go out and Jamie Newman could be unbelievable. We could go 15-0, win the national championship, be 7-0 going into the Florida game, leading 24-0 in the third quarter, go 3-and-out, and there'll be some, what was going on? I mean, I'm an armchair OC and GM, and I get it. Every play is designed to work. There are a lot that are run where you think, I get it was designed to work, but the odds of that working weren't that good. But every play that's called is designed to work in a positive manner.
Yeah, that's hopefully the idea. The best play, though, is the kneel down at the end. Boom. All right, the 5 and 5 brought to you by Duplicating Systems, more than a system, a solution.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.